We appreciate that you're here tonight. It's good to be back with you and have opportunity to be worshiping God together. We're glad that some that weren't feeling well this morning were able to be out. And we hope that our contemplation of God's Word and will for us will be useful to us. The lesson this evening is a little different than normal. I'm going to present a report of the work that was recently done in India, at least my part in that. And it's not the first time I've given such reports. In some ways it'll be similar, but it provides me opportunity, first of all, to express my thanks to this church, to again, my gratitude to the elders for their encouragement and their support, for their willingness to for me to be gone 4 weeks at a time. And felt like 4 months. That's fine because I missed you all. Be able to be gone and the encouragement that they are to the work, and I appreciate that very much. But not just my thanks to the elders, but also everyone who preached while I was gone, taught classes. I was able to listen to some of the sermons. Haven't gotten through all of them yet, but I appreciate the work that you did, the teaching of the Word, of the Gospel that you. That was part of that effort, and so I'm thankful to each one who took up. You know, I'm asked sometimes, well, who's preaching back home? Or I talk to people around here, and I tell them about going to India. Well, what happens at the church? Who takes care of things while you're gone? I said, well, we have a number of men who preach, who do a good job of teaching and preaching, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that, and I'm thankful to you for your efforts. In that. Certainly I'm thankful, of course, to my wife, but more on that in a minute. Thankful also that Brother Dan was able to be in India part of the same time in a different location. He was kind of over here in this part of the area when I was kind of over here in this part of the area. So a lot of what you hear from me probably going to be very similar to his experiences, and he's written his reports as well, and we're thankful for that work. Thankful always that the gospel is being preached and spread, and so I'm grateful for his effort and sacrifices that he's made and the work that he's done in those in the areas of India, different areas as well, so that the gospel is continuing to be spread. I hope I haven't overlooked thanking someone. Of course, thanking the Lord most of all. We're thankful to Him. And certainly to Him goes all the glory, all the praise for such efforts at home or in other places around the world. So an overview of the work that I was a part of. I had 2 1-week-long preacher classes, which is something that I've been doing. I think this is probably my 10th visit, 10th trip now to India, I believe. That's right. And since first going with Brother Bobby Holmes in 2006, one of the areas of work has been to arrange classes with preachers and to try to help them, encourage them, instruct them, equip them in their work. So I had 2 1-week-long class sessions in 2 different places that I'll tell you a little bit about. Also had 1 full day of classes and also 1 place of where we had 2 days of classes. And mixed in with that was visiting and preaching at, I counted up, 13 different villages or churches in villages and cities during this trip. So went to some new area this time. Went up into northern India, which is, with one exception, only one other time I've gone to North India, but this is another place entirely, kind of in the north-northeast region of the country, and more on that in a little while. We were able to witness 9 souls obey the gospel during the course of the visit in different locations. Of course, Brother Mark Smith was my companion during most of my time there, and Debbie was with us for a week. Brother Dina Dowell and his wife Victoria were with us. Dina Dowell interpreted for Mark and myself, and his son Sam also did some translating, some interpreting, and Sister Victoria interpreted for Debbie when she taught women's Bible classes. Here's the areas that I went: Hyderabad, and from Hyderabad, just a series of areas around Hyderabad, some village, the smaller stars represent some of the places, some of the villages and cities, but the two larger stars down here had a week-long preacher meeting in Jedcherla and a week-long preaching meeting in Kothakota, which what stands out about that place is all the pigs in the town. You know, I didn't see a dog in that town until about the third day, but the pigs were everywhere. Pigs took care of the dogs, I think. Cats, too. I saw more cats, I think, than I did dogs, which is kind of unusual. So anyway, we spent, the first 2 weeks of the trip was in this area of both Telangana and then Andhra Pradesh. The state of Andhra Pradesh is divided now into two. So there's the Telangana state and the state of Andhra Pradesh, which is a little further east. Then Purnia in the state of Bihar to the north. We went the final, about a week, a little less than a week, about 5 days total, going and coming and time spent in that area. First weekend, we arrived on a... First week I was there by myself. Mark's wife had some surgery and he had to delay his trip. So the first week I was there on my own, and then he came a week later. So the first week, when I arrived on a Thursday morning very early, got a little rest, got settled in. The next day, I got there on a Friday. On Saturday, preached at a tribal village where there were about 80 in attendance, plus women and children, or plus children. And I believe I preached on the coming of Christ on that occasion. It had a good crowd, interested crowd. Outside, the sun was pretty bright. We had an awning. And that evening, went to Kodangal village. Brother David, Dinadal's brother, preaches there. And I preached on a rooftop. You know, we read in the Bible about Peter being on the rooftop and others. Well, as we were on the rooftop, at night, preaching at about probably 35-40, gathered, preached a lesson about the model prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and had a good time with those brethren, encouraging time as always. The Lord's Day in Jedcherla, that's the where Brother Dana Dow is an evangelist and one of the elders of that congregation, and I preached on that Lord's Day. I think I preached the lesson on three things sin will always do. You might remember that lesson from 1 Samuel chapter, or from Judges 16. Sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. We need to remember that about sin. Samson is a tragic story that reminds us of the debilitating and deadly effects of sin upon ourselves and upon our efforts and our attempts of service to God. So that was the lesson of the day. And as you see gathered there, that's a portion of the crowd. I suspect there's probably about 70 to 80 in attendance on the Lord's Day there in Jedcherla. And so with Monday, I began the first week of lectures, preacher classes. Got there Monday morning, pulled out my laptop, and started to plug in the projector and realized it wouldn't fit. So I didn't have PowerPoint the first week, which is okay. Had workbooks, and so we preached the old-fashioned way, without PowerPoint. You know, that can still be done, right? it was the second time I'd been with these men, this same basic group of men. And so the advanced lessons were what I presented. And I say advanced lessons just because they were more a variety of lessons, not just one main theme in the lessons, rather wide-ranging, topical and textual. Monday, and all these reports, by the way, are online. I think there's a link on our website. And I tried to keep up with daily reports. If you didn't get those and you want to get those, let me know. I'll put you on the email list for the next time Lord willing, if there's another trip that we can let you know about it. Monday I began the series with talking about godly character from Colossians chapter 3. God teaches us that if we, since we've been raised with Christ, we're to seek the things that are above, where Christ is. We're to set our mind on things above. So we're supposed to have a new set of goals, new set of objectives, new set of priorities, and develop the character that puts sin to death and conforms to the image of Christ. And that Colossians, the third chapter, is an important personal faith lesson to help us mature in Christ. I taught a lesson about boldness in Christ on Monday. Actually, I guess I had three main lessons on... You know, it takes twice as long to preach with the interpreter, so I had three lessons that took most of the day, and try to slow it down and go very methodically and so that you know, we get across the points with the language barrier at times. Boldness in Christ. I was talking to a group of preachers, so I try to emphasize, you know, what boldness is. You know, boldness is not harshness. Boldness is the willingness to take a stand in truth and to endure and to have the courage to preach what needs to be preached, try to save the lost and protect the saved. And it's a trait that we all need. We need the element of boldness, because after all, Paul told Timothy, we haven't been given a spirit of fear. In 1 Timothy 1, or 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. So we talked about the exclusive nature of being a Christian as well on Monday. Tuesday, had a lesson on the conscience. It was kind of interesting. I was told after that study about the conscience that they never heard a lesson about the conscience before. Which reminded me that we need to be careful not to take for granted wherever we are teaching, that we need to know our audience. We need to know and not take for granted that people know something that we know just, well, because I know it, they know it. No, not necessarily. And so part of our effort for any of us who teach is to as much as possible, know our audience, know what's needed, and realize that, especially in going to India, there are just some very basic and fundamental things that they need consistent instruction in to help ground them, stabilize them, and mature them in Christ. So we studied about the conscience. We studied about the flesh and the spirit from Galatians chapter 5. Talked about the doctrines of baptism and the basic first principle lesson. It took some time, really in 2 days, to have a textual study. We just studied through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Talked about resurrection. About resurrection, the gospel, resurrection from the dead, and bodily resurrection. So, and that was an interesting study, and it generated some discussions at the end of the day. Some Bible questions. And that. So it was a good Bible study, period. Wednesday we studied about demons. That sometimes comes up among the brethren, how to address that. They live, really, Hindu religion is a very superstitious religion. And about 85% of the people in India are Hindu. And when you got 1.2, 1.4 billion people, you're talking about a substantial number, aren't you? So a lot of superstition. They have the demon, they put these demon, what do you call them, masks, right? You see those, man. Put them on their houses. Put them on, you know, that's supposed to ward off the evil spirits. It's supposed to be some significance for them, for protection and blessing. So we studied about demons and took some time to talk about elders in every church. I asked the class, it was Wednesday maybe, said, how many of you are in a congregation that has elders? No one raised their hands. Only ones that did, but, well, I say no one. Two did, because where we were preaching in Jed Turla, having our classes, that congregation has elders, but no one else does. The brethren need to be taught, and the preachers need to be teaching and helping the men develop their lives and their faith to be overseers of congregations. So I spent a good deal of time talking about God's plan of elders and overseers in the church, and try to encourage and exhort them in that area. We studied about fellowship, We studied about our unity in Christ and the fellowship that we're to have with Him and therefore with each other. Talked about not being respecters of people. Just struck me there in Romans 10 that Aaron read for us. That verse 12 says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. I thought to myself, yeah. And of course, his context is about salvation, isn't it? That's his context. There's no distinction between American and Indian, Jew or Greek, any other ethnicity or race or nationality in this earth. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. God's over all of us, and He is equally rich to all who call on His name. He holds some special blessing for an American that He doesn't hold for an Indian. I'm trying to emphasize that to the brethren to understand that too. An American is not in some special position with God. And you might think, well, of course we're not, but as you get into that environment with the Indian brethren, it's very easy to see that they can begin to look to you as some kind of, special representative of God. I don't know how else to describe it. And so we try to do what we can to lessen that thought and, of course, eliminate that when it shows itself. Because that certainly is not the case at all. And so we emphasized that God is no respecter of persons and making those applications. The culture of Hinduism has for thousands of years embedded and ingrained the caste concept of people. If you're a tanner, then you'll always be a tanner, and you won't ever rise above being a tanner, and you have a station in life, and you're in the low part of life, and if your skin's lighter, then you're in a higher caste, and if it's darker, you're in a lower caste, and you're treated like that. Well, you see, God's no respecter of person. James 2 is the place to go to study that and understand that we're not to treat people differently based on how they look, what they owe, what they own, and such as that. He's no respecter of persons. Talked about knowing truth. We talked about the hope of our calling. We talked about the holiness that we're to have in our lives. We talked about working out our own salvation, spiritual growth and development. Talked about the judgment to come, the day of reckoning. All those things are part of, and I didn't add up all those. I don't know, there's about 20 lessons or so, I'm not sure, in the week that the class that we had time to be a part of. I was pleased with it. It was very good, well attended. I counted 46. Here's just some pictures of the preaching. That's Brother Sam, who also did some interpreting. It's a family we ate with one night. But there's the group of men. Distributed some Bibles at the end of the class, as well as class booklets. And so that's always encouraging to see their interest in receiving those and their thankfulness of receiving those. So that was the first week. Pigtown, Kothakota, second week. Brother Mark Smith came in and joined me then. And this was the first time with these men. So it was the basic classes and the line of study that I focused on and focus on in the first year of study mainly is on Bible authority. So we began teaching, years ago in Kurnool and in Bangalore about, we were teaching men that came out of institutionalism, and we're teaching about Bible authority, the work of the local church, the organization of the local church, how do you establish Bible authority, how do you apply Bible authority, what's the silence of the Scriptures, what's a necessary inference. What does God expect in a church doing its work? What is its work? How is it to be organized? How is it to be funded? And all those sorts of things concerning the local church and authority, fellowship. Those are the fundamental things that are curricula that I teach in the first year of classes. Mark teaches some other basic studies about the church, personal faith, and such as that. One night to Wanapathi, actually where we were staying, about 15, 20 minutes away from where our classes were being held. Preached there on Wednesday night. Three men were baptized, three young men in the middle of the night. I've got a picture of that here in a minute. We also met one night in a home of about 40 that gathered. Mark spoke. Well, we both spoke briefly. Here's some of those photos. Nathaniel is a preacher there and his wife with Mark and me. Always love to be with the children over there, and they're just lovely children. Mark preaching there on that occasion. January 26th was Republic Day in India. And so we're driving to class, and we have to stop and wait because the school children are parading all that morning. And here's some boys that are carrying this huge Indian flag, and it literally must have been at least 50 yards long, maybe more. I mean, it's just this huge banner. They're walking down the middle of the road, middle of the street, and everything stops. Of course, the highlight of Republic Day in India this year was President Obama was there. So that was going on. Here's the house gathering. Here's Mark preaching, teaching there in Kothakota. There's the gathering, and these three of these young men, some of them were in this as they're sitting here. We went out in the middle of the night here, about two or three clicks out of town, and into this irrigation trough, and there's some water running through it. We took this picture the next day, so we didn't know where we were in the middle of the night, but the brethren baptized the young men there in this what really was a trough where the oxen are watered. The irrigation comes in, and they're preaching there in that location. The next night, on a Thursday night, we went to another village, Kanur. There was 125 people gathered there. I didn't get a picture of it. I don't know why, but I didn't. That was really the largest group we had all trip at any given congregation. It was literally way out in the boonies. And you think, well, you're already in the boonies. Well, yeah, that's right. But this is even farther out. You could tell that when they got a heavy rain, they were cut off. Some of the places where we drove through and to get to their village, there was no doubt. And I asked, we talked about it. Said, yeah, when the rains come in the monsoon, they're cut off. It was interesting. And the preacher there was one of the students in our study that week, so that's where we went out one night and preached to that gathering. At the end of the classes, again, there's distributing the Bibles and class books. Brother David is the preacher at Wanapathi, where the three young men obeyed the gospel. He was in our Cornell classes back in 2006, I think. When I saw him the first day, I recognized him. And he was there, of course, all week. It's good to see him again, make that connection. And there's some of the men in the class. Assessment. I've already said some of this, but these classes are important because they do provide more in-depth opportunities for more in-depth teaching situations. It's a way to teach and influence a lot of other brethren. If we can teach the preachers the truth and ground them in the truth, they can take this material and they can teach the congregation, they can teach the brethren in the places that they live. We're thankful to have that kind of opportunity to spread the influence. It also helps us to focus in and define what particular issues might be needful and useful to the brethren and to the churches at those particular moments. So next year, Lord willing, make another trip. We'll go a second year to Kothakota and do much like we did in Jed Churla. Now, the third week, there's the highlight of the trip. Debbie came and I got to see my wife. So she came to Hyderabad. We drove up there, met her, and that weekend preached in Vijayawada on the Lord's Day, and we had to fly to Vijayawada. So there's Mark and myself and Debbie and Dina Dow and his wife. So we all journeyed there, preached there on the Lord's Day from 1 Corinthians 10, I think. I preached about falling away. And then the next day, we drove down to Modala, and about 40 preachers gathered, plus that many more. We had about 80 people, I think, in all probably on that day in Modala. And there were two baptisms then. We visited villages that week, and there were four more baptisms. I'll give you a few pictures of that. And then at the end of that week, Debbie went on her way, and Mark and I traveled on up to Pernia, as I mentioned a minute ago. Here's a few pictures from Modala. Some of the preachers there, and there I am preaching. Brother, here's, what's her name?
Marietta.
She knows this brother. She helps this brother, Brother Thomas, C.H. Thomas and his wife. It's good to see them again. Fine young man. He doesn't speak hardly any English, but we preached at his place in the past. And it was good to see him again. There's one of the baptisms, one of the two baptisms that day. Oh, by the way, that reminded me, that picture about the baptism, reminded me that one of the things I talked to preachers about and reminding them about is preaching the invitations. Invite people to obey the gospel when you preach. Now, I forgot that to tell you this little incident. When the three young men back there and one apothecary said, "We want to become Christians," it was probably at that time, after we all was said and done, it was probably close to 9 o'clock at night. And the preacher started by saying, "Well, we'll baptize them in the morning." I said, "No, brother, we're not going to wait till in the morning." You know, and went to Acts 16 and showed him that, and said, "Oh, I see, I understand." That has been a recurring theme in several places. Dan knows he's same thing. And I think, simply put, I think this is what they've been taught by liberal brethren through the years, from liberal churches of Christ, institutionally minded brethren, have taught them that you just wait till the sun comes up. Wait till the next day if it's in the middle of the night. Well, we're trying to change that. That's not the Bible pattern. When somebody wants to be saved, that's the time to obey the gospel. And anyway, so that just reminded me of that. Visiting the villages is probably, and I know Mark agrees with this, because he's verbalized it several times, is the highlight for him. I think for me too. It gives you a whole new perspective. And when we visited the villages, our preaching, we just try to preach very simple lessons, taught from the parables. I taught one of my lessons was just take the text in Luke 15 and teach them about the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Teach them about the rich man and Lazarus. Just practical lessons of faith, of daily living, of trusting the Bible. But really the highlight for the women were the women's classes that Debbie taught in three of the churches. She had a lesson on time from Ecclesiastes. She taught a lesson on Eve and a lesson on the worthy woman. She really was the rock star of the trip. I mean, you know, everybody really enjoyed having her there. They were encouraged by that, and I was as well. And I'm thankful she was able to join us, because the class, women don't get many opportunities for classes. There are some in some places. I know some women have classes with other women, but for example, in this first village that we went together, there she is with Sister Victoria, and here are the women gathered around, some of the children as well. This is in the women's class that picture was taken. There's, of course, the building. This is out, you know, all around. This is a small village. All around are cotton fields and chili fields. Not so much rice paddies here, but in one of the other villages, a lot of rice paddies. The next day, we went to Viparla. K. Zechariah was there. We had about 35 people present in this little building. There is where they met. And again, the women's classes. I think he had a lesson on Eve that day. Third place, Gundalapadu. Biggest crowd of the villages, 75 or 80. Four baptisms that day. We all went down midday after the morning session when four responded to the gospel invitation. And here's the preacher, Brother E. Abraham, down by the water, hearing their confessions about the baptism. I didn't have a wide-angle lens, so I couldn't get the herdsman over here with his water buffalo. He's about 20 yards on up the water there. There's one of the women being baptized. And again, the women's class that Debbie was teaching. So, as I said, I think that was the women's classes was a very helpful and encouraging to the women. And all the feedback I got on that, I'm thankful that Debbie was able to do that. And it was good to be with her too that week. She kept me well through that. It's just after that she made me sick. No, she left some candy and I ate too much of it. No, I made myself sick. So, get that straight, right? The visiting of the churches gets you down exactly to where people are living. I mean, it's one thing to meet preachers and to, you know, have them come and meet you in some place and preach a series of classes to them. But when you get to go to where they're working, you begin to get an eyeball on what kind of work are they doing? What kind of situation are they presented with? You know, quite frankly, we saw some where the works looked like they were going very well, and others, they need some help, need some improvement, need some encouragements, which we tried to give, and some direction and exhortation. That's a good thing to be able to do that. That's part of the work of teaching, again, is recognizing what the needs are, doing our best to try to exhort and teach in those things. It's clear in some places they need to be taught more about worship demeanor, and they need more spiritual growth. And so we tried to exhort and talk about some of those things, not just publicly, but also privately, trying to exhort in those areas. As I said, the women's classes I thought were very useful, and hope that we can do that more at other times. Lord willing, next time we make a trip, we hope to visit more churches in the villages, try to coordinate and arrange to get two a day. Now, we're going to have to overcome IST when we do that, right, Dan? Indian Standard Time. You know, it's kind of a joke, but if you're not careful, the joke can just become something you just kind of take for granted as if it has to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, Indian Standard Time is just when they get around to it, you know. You say 10 o'clock and it might be 11 o'clock before things happen. So we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to tighten that up. And I think we can, Lord willing. But I'd like to be able to visit more churches with the allotted time that we have. I think that'll be helpful in several different ways. The fourth week of the trip, Mark and I traveled up to Purnia in the state of Bihar. It's about 60 miles. It's only about 60 miles south of the border with Nepal. So, as the crow flies, Kathmandu is about 300 miles from where we were on a straight line. So it's getting on up north now. Of course, they're all bundled up in their winter coats and the socks on their heads because it was 65 degrees. So we felt great, short sleeves. I mean, it was wonderful, but really it was not a hot trip this time. I don't know if Dan experienced the same. Maybe a little hotter where he was. I think he had some hot days, but all in all, it was a very comfortable trip this time. First time I'd ever seen tea growing. A lot of tea estates up there. We had to go to West Bengal, fly into West Bengal, and then travel over to Bihar. So in West Bengal and some in Bihar, there's these tea estates, and they're manicured about yay high and as far as you can see. So it's interesting. Brother Massey Tudu is the local evangelist, along with another gentleman, Multilal, also does some preaching there. And they speak Hindi and another local language that I'm sorry I didn't write it down. It escapes me. But we're we're going to secure some Bibles for them in that language. Sinhala, I believe, is the language, and provide some Bibles up there. I had 2 days of classes there. Mark and I thought that we were going to be having classes with preachers, and some did come. There's a preacher from Nepal who attended the classes, and a couple of others there locally. But most of them those who attended these classes ended up being young people, young men, actually. And so from there and from some of the other nearby places. A couple of days of classes. Like I say, I was sick the first day of the class, so Mark took all that day, and I took all the second day, and so that worked out all right. But it did provide us an opportunity to see the lay of the land, and also to talk to the preachers there about arranging next year up in that area, but in another state, to bring men from several different places. There's some contacts made in several areas, and we, Lord willing, we're going to try to have some classes. I'm pushing the wrong one, sorry. We're going to have a class, hopefully, next year in Jharkhand, with hopefully as many as 35 or 40 men who all, again, have institutional backgrounds, so provide an opportunity to be teaching them about Bible authority. Some basic things that we take for granted, but that they haven't heard. And Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. There are some false doctrines from time to time to crop up we need to address. I talked about one of those last week about Jesus as the Son of God, and we'll preach some on that next year, Lord willing. There's always the issue of fellowship to address. Still is an issue in places. Digression from the Bible pattern and the influence of liberalism that shows itself among brethren, and that we have to address along the way too. And there's also some new areas. On Debbie's way to meeting us, she worshipped in Pune and with the church there, and we have an invitation to go to Pune, which is over in the western part of India. There's opportunities in some other places. Maybe even Mark wants to go to Nepal. I know he wants to get up to Nepal. And maybe there's opportunities there. We'll have to see as time goes by. We're in discussion of the possibilities of, some years back we had a Telugu publication. Some talk about maybe reinstating that in a different form a little bit. Maybe an eight page bulletin to do some Bible teaching. Translated into the Telugu language, articles that I would send over, have translated into a bi-monthly, about an 8-page. That's in the works, in the possibility. Also some talk, and Mark is more involved in this, but talking with Brother Dina Dowell about the possibilities of maybe a preacher training set up with the brethren there in Jadcherla to maybe have some men come and study with Brother Dina Dowell, who want to preach, and give some opportunity for some more extensive teaching and training in preaching the gospel. So those are things that are going on. India is not the only place we can preach the gospel. We can preach the gospel right here. And so we need to be looking for opportunities here. Just as surely as there, but there are opportunities there that, Lord willing, we can take advantage of, and I'm thankful to be able to remember that all of us have opportunities in our lives to see the fields that are white around us. Maybe they're close by. Maybe they're far away. We can all do something where we are in particular situations of our lives. We're not limited to one place. God has blessed us with opportunities near and far. To be able to take advantage of those is I think, exactly what the Lord wants us to be doing here and in other places. And so let's avail ourselves of our opportunities here. There are brethren here who need to be strengthened, need to be grounded, need to be growing. There are lost that need to be saved. And the same way in India, there's opportunities. I can't gather 35 preachers here and teach a week-long class, but I can there. And with your help and your encouragement and support, others can too. And that's work we can do while it's day, because the night's going to come when we can't work anymore. I'm pushing on toward the 6-0. Dan's over that one, but I mean, you start at some point. You start looking at time differently. Not with I've got a lot more time, but trying to get everything you can do done because time's short, and you don't know how much you have in the future. So you use the time you have best you can, I'm again thankful that the church here appreciates the need and wants to encourage this work and not just here but other places as well. But again, I'm thankful that you encourage me in this work. I pray that never something that I take for granted, but that I understand and know that by going to India, that puts responsibilities upon others here. But also, I want you to know that it's because of you, in large part, that I'm able to participate in this kind of work. I'm thankful for that, thankful to you for that, and thankful to the Lord that He's given us these opportunities together, that we can work together to His glory, to the strengthening of the saved, to the saving of the lost, and to the spread of His gospel around the world. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I know we haven't talked specifically to you, but Romans 10 assures us that God is rich toward all who call on His name. All who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You call on the name of the Lord by a response of faith, by hearing His Word, to believe that He's the Son of God, to repent of the sins that you've committed against God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Then to be a Christian, to live for Him every day, to grow and mature as a child of God. If you're lost, we hope you'll be saved tonight, that you'll be baptized into Jesus and your sins will be washed away by His blood. Or as a Christian, if you're struggling with sin in your life, God wants to relieve you of that struggle, relieve you of that burden. He wants to lift that burden. He lifts it at Calvary, as we're about to sing, I believe. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus has made it possible now as Christians that we can go to Him in prayer. We can repent of our sin, confessing our sin to Him, and forgiveness is ours. If that's your need, we want to help you. While together we stand and sing, won't you come?
Days are filled with sorrow and care.